So a little bit of background. There are about 2 million foreign-born Chinese residents in the U.S., making up a total about 5% of the entire immigrant population living in the U.S., and China is currently the top sending country of immigrants to the U.S., although I will say that it's slightly open for a debate. It's kind of a toss-up between Mexico, India, and China right now. And this figure shows the immigrant Chinese population in the U.S. over time. And you can see that particularly since around 2000, the year 2000, they've been really large increases in this population living in the U.S. So when we're talking about cardiovascular risk among many immigrant groups, including many Asian immigrant groups and Chinese immigrants in the U.S., this is somewhat of a generalization, but we do have some evidence that cardiovascular risk among Chinese immigrants tends to be higher than among Chinese residents of China, and also rises over time the longer immigrants spend in the U.S., above and beyond what we might expect just from aging, and also rises with acculturation. But at the same time, cardiovascular risk among Chinese immigrants and other immigrant groups in the U.S. tends to be lower than among non-Hispanic whites or other people of Chinese background who were born in the U.S., and this is the immigrant paradox that you may have heard of. So the question is, why? Why do we see these patterns? Why do we see an immigrant paradox? And why do we see these increases in cardiovascular risk as immigrants from China spend longer in the U.S.? So there's probably a lot of different reasons for that, and there's some research showing, for example, that some of it is selection. Healthier people are more likely to immigrate to the U.S., and on the flip side, when people become ill, they may be more likely to return home for care. And also there are behavioral changes that can happen as people spend time in the U.S. But we were specifically interested in looking at whether residential patterns might also help explain these phenomena. So again, this is a generalization, but often when immigrants arrive in the U.S., they will move to neighborhoods where there are a lot of co-ethnics, high co-ethnic concentration, in this case meeting other people of Chinese background. These neighborhoods are often referred to as ethnic enclaves. And then as people live in the U.S. longer, they may spatially assimilate, meaning moving to neighborhoods where there are fewer co-ethnic residents. And this figure shows some hypothesized mechanisms where the neighborhood co-ethnic concentration might influence cardiovascular risk. And here I'm using body mass index as a key cardiovascular risk factor. So we have separated the mechanisms into two broad domains. So first of all, neighborhoods with different ethnic compositions or ethnic enclaves may differ in material ways from other neighborhoods. So the job opportunities may be different, the food availability might be different, the aesthetics, and either the objective or perceived safety of those neighborhoods. And then also the social environments in these neighborhoods may differ. So there is some research showing that immigrants living in ethnic enclaves report more social connections. And also, there's some evidence of a buffering effect where there is less experienced discrimination. And now all of those characteristics can influence the stress that people experience, as well as behaviors like exercise and diet that can influence cardiovascular risk or body mass index specifically. So in this study, we looked at body mass index, but we also looked at exercise and diet as two more proximal behavioral characteristics that may be influenced by the neighborhood and then go on to influence BMI. So the two questions we wanted to ask are, is higher long-term neighborhood co-ethnic concentration associated with lower cardiovascular risk? And then more specifically, is spatial assimilation associated with higher risk? To do that, we used data from the Multi-Ethnic Study of Atherosclerosis. This is a large cohort study initiated by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute of the NIH of about 6,800 older adults who were aged 45 to 84 at baseline. And it is a multi-ethnic cohort, including participants who self-identify as non-Hispanic white, non-Hispanic black, Latino of mixed ethnicities, and Chinese. And I just a quick plug here, out of the large NIH-funded cardiovascular cohorts, this is the only one that includes a sample of any Asian group. There's some in the Women's Health Initiative, but that's a more select group to start with. So MESA sampled from 6 sites throughout the United States, and there were 5 study waves. Baseline was in 2000 and then ranging through 2011. So for this analysis, we're concentrating on the Chinese participants, and specifically we're looking at foreign-born Chinese participants and those who lived in the U.S. at least 10 years at baseline, and that's because our interest is in long-term neighborhood exposures. And because the sampling of ethnic groups differed by site, our analysis here only includes participants from the L.A. site and from here in Chicago. Now, we have done some work previously looking at neighborhood co-ethnic concentration and BMI and cardiovascular risk in the immigrants in MESA using the follow-up time from 2000 to 2011, and we did find some associations there. But what always bothered me is that if you picture someone is born, at some time after that they move to the U.S., and then often decades after that they may enroll in the MESA study. So we were missing quite a long time of neighborhood exposure just by looking at MESA follow-up. So what we did here is we added an additional source of information from residential history questionnaires. These were administered to the participants in MESA around study waves 2 to 3, and participants were asked about every address they had lived in since January 1980 and the dates when they lived at those addresses. So it's still not perfect, but it gets us a lot closer at having information about the entire tenure in the United States of our participants. Now, we used an interpolation method to create our neighborhood measures. We used information from the census. So just to give you an example, we did this for every census tract. So we're using census tracts here as proxies for neighborhoods. Every census tract in the United States. You can see here the 1980, 1990, and 2000 census, but we also went up through 2010 to go through the MESA. So let's say you have 2 census tracts. One is this one in green and one is purple. We assigned a date for each census source and then assigned the neighborhood measure from that census source to the tract, and then created a best fit line for each tract for each time period to create a measure over time for each tract. Then we took the addresses of our participants and assigned them based on what census tract they lived in at any given time from 1980 through 2011. So our primary exposure here was neighborhood co-ethnic concentration. Since this is a group of Chinese participants, our definition of co-ethnic concentration was the percent of Chinese residents living in the census tract. And we looked at 2 different blocks of time. We looked at the previous 10 years, and then we looked at the 10 years prior to that to see whether more recent or further in the past neighborhood exposures might be important for our outcomes. And we looked at 2 different measures of co-ethnic concentration. One was the cumulative average. So on average, what was the percentage of residents who were Chinese in your census tract over the previous 10 years and over the 10 years prior to that? And then we also looked specifically at patterns of change over time. So for participants who had experienced on average a 1% decrease per year of neighborhood co-ethnic concentration or more, we classified them as experiencing spatial assimilation. And that could have occurred either because they moved to different neighborhoods or they stayed in place while the neighborhoods changed around them. The opposite of that, we had our participants who experienced spatial segregation or increases in the proportion of residents in their neighborhoods who were Chinese over time. And then our reference group was a stable group who did not experience large differences in co-ethnic concentration over time. Our outcomes were body mass index and waist circumference. The healthy eating index score, this is a score developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that incorporates a lot of different information about healthy and unhealthy foods. It goes 0 to 100, and higher is a healthier diet. And we collected information from a food frequency questionnaire here. And we also looked at 2 measures of physical activity, but the 2 outcomes in bold are the ones I'm going to talk about today. So we analyzed our data using general estimating equation linear regression models to account for correlations between observations belonging to the same person, and we adjusted for a number of socio-demographic and study-related variables. So our sample, just to give you an idea of who we're talking about, was about half male. mean age was 64. 23% had less than a high school degree, and 39% had a college degree or more. About half of our sample had been in the U.S. less than 20 years, so 10 to 20 years at baseline, and half longer than that. And this is a pretty mobile group. So over the entire follow-up starting in 1980, 98% of people moved at least once, and about half had four or more addresses during that time period. And 31% were overweight, 5% obese. So we had a wide span of neighborhood co-ethnic concentration, ranging from about almost 0% of Chinese residents living in our participants' census tracts up to 85%. But if you look at the average over our two chunks of time, the previous 10 years and the 10 years prior, you can see that in the previous 10 years, the average percent of Chinese residents in the census tracts for our participants was 26%, and before that was 19%. So we actually see a trend over time of higher co-ethnic concentration. I suspect this may be related just to the large influx of Chinese immigrants to the U.S., where they're just were more Chinese immigrants maybe living in these neighborhoods. In terms of change, the patterns were pretty similar whether you look at the previous 10 years or the 10 years prior to that. 8 to 9% of our participants experienced spatial assimilation. About a third experienced spatial segregation, but the majority did not experience large changes in co-ethnic concentration over time. So this is results for body mass index using our average measure, so just the average co-ethnic concentration over the past 10 years and the 10 years previous. And these are differences in BMI associated with being at the 80th versus the 20th percentile of co-ethnic concentration. So in this case, that would be about having, say, like 30, I think it was 36% versus 2% of percent of Chinese residents in your census tract. So, frankly, not huge differences here, but we have some indication that more recently, higher co-ethnic concentration is related to slightly lower BMI, about 1 point, which is about 5 pounds. And we see no association with co-ethnic concentration farther in the past. We do see results a little bit more consistent looking at diet, where higher co-ethnic concentration over the previous 10 years is related to better diet, and then higher co-ethnic concentration in the 10 years previous to that is related to better diet, but not as much as most recent experience. I will say, though, that those actual estimates are not large. And now these are the results for our changes in neighborhoods. So again, we're starting with BMI, and we have relative to being in the stable group, spatial assimilation or spatial segregation, and each of those in the previous 10 years or the 10 years prior to that. Really not very strong associations here. There is some indication that experiencing spatial segregation farther in the past is related to lower BMI. That is the one farthest on the right there. And really no associations with diet. So to answer our questions, is higher long-term co-ethnic concentration associated with lower risk? A little bit for diet in this sample of Chinese immigrants. And is spatial assimilation associated with higher risk? Not consistently. A few things to keep in mind, though, these measurements are subject to measurement error. People were retrospectively reporting their neighborhoods from quite a while back. There also may be threshold effects. So this analysis, I didn't present it here, but we also looked at the Latino immigrants in the MESA study and actually saw stronger associations. But the Latinos are living in neighborhoods with much higher co-ethnic concentration than the Chinese immigrants in our sample. So that is one possible explanation. And most of our participants did not experience large changes in co-ethnic concentration over time. Also, just to keep in mind, remember that we excluded immigrants who had moved here most recently. And also that MESA in general is a healthy population. These are older adults, but in order to be enrolled in the cohort study, they had to be free of clinical cardiovascular disease at baseline. So this is a rather healthy cohort, particularly the ones who enrolled at older ages. So here are my acknowledgments, and thank you. Okay, so we have a couple of minutes for questions, if there are any. Okay.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Let's give a round of applause for the whole panel. Are there questions for the entire panel now? Or if panelists, do you want to ask each other questions so that we can get some discussion across the four of you, we're also open to that as well.